She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running.
Continuing our conversation with Marty Ronski from the Milwaukee Brewers. Obviously, baseball season right around the corner. The guys working hard out at spring training, but they will be back in Milwaukee in no time. And of course, you cannot think about this upcoming season without thinking about Bob Uecker. We all loved seeing the little personal touches that the players are going to have. Obviously, Christian Yelich and his bat. And then I saw the patch that that you guys are doing. Tell me more about this patch that people can go out and get in order to show their appreciation for everything Bob Uecker did for this organization over the years, Marty.
Whole thing really started with the players, and I think players and Bob and their relationship with Bob, and that's what makes it so extra special. The patch, you know, you guys have seen in all sports over time, it matters to the players what's on their sleeve. So we of course wanted to honor Bob in that way and worked with his family to come up with the right thing. The right look, the right design, something that really honored Bob in the right way. And so the design of the patch is really unique. The players, you know, we revealed it a while ago. It'll debut in Milwaukee on opening day on the jerseys. But for our fans, you can come into the team store and buy that patch on a jersey. You can go back to the little where you get the custom jerseys made, and the jersey can be added to that patch too. We had so many fans say, we want to be part of this, so that's the direction we went.
So the last... Marty, go ahead, Chu.
Marty, will there be alumni players coming back to honor him at some point in time?
Yeah, Chu. Over time, there will be. For opening day, we've got sort of a set of... It's going to be really... I was told I can share this, but kind of wanted it to be a surprise. But they're going to do... We're going to have Bob's autograph really big in the outfield. And it looks... I don't know if you've seen it at spring. It's behind home plate at spring. It just looks really fantastic. And that's probably the best way he can be with us and with everybody in that way. Then we'll do our moment of silence on opening day, just to give everybody that moment. We will absolutely, Chu, have alums and... oh. So many different people back to honor Bob in August. So we haven't quite arrived at the details and the date, but it will be in August, and we will announce it, and we will honor him during a game for all fans, anybody that wants to come.
The last couple of years, my mom and I have gone to opening day, and she wanted to make sure. She's like, hey, we got to make sure we go again because I want to be there for all the Bob stuff. So that's fantastic. Are there tickets still available? Can people still get their tickets so they make sure they're there for all the different festivities that are going to be happening on opening day?
Yeah, 100%. And I remember your mom and you on opening day. So you tell her thank you for coming again. I do remember that from last year. Yes, there are still opening day tickets available. They are going. I mean, we are thrilled. They're moving really fast. So there are still tickets out there, though. So jump online, brewers.com/tickets or opening day. You can do either one. Opening day is going to be particularly extraordinary this year, not just because we've got some nods to Bob throughout the course of the game, but also we've got live music at the Ped Bridge. So right where you come over, everybody comes over that bridge. We've got live music. We've got five card studs coming. We've got we've got two DJs, maybe three DJs that are going to be there. It's going to be a really cool in-game extra things. We just, you know, look, every year we look at opening day and think about how we can do it better, make it a little bit more of a party. And so we're really going for it this year with our group.
Marty Ronski from the Milwaukee Brewers, COO, joining us in studio here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy to talk about some of the exciting things happening around your brew crew. We're talking about opening day. Am I seeing this correctly, that there is also an exclusive Jackson Churio t-shirt? Select opening day terrace level seats. That feels like incentive to get out to the ballpark and sit in the terrace seats.
Yeah, it's a really cool tee. There are only 5,000 of them. You guys actually have some coming. They're on their way. It's a Jackson Churio tee. We have select seats up on terrace. There are still some available. I checked right before I came in, so those seats are still available. It's a custom tee, and it really is limited edition. We are not selling it in our store. We're not doing anything else with it. So designed by one of our Wisconsin artists and one of our partners. We're going to have that t-shirt available as part of your package. So you buy that terrace ticket, you get that t-shirt. And so that'll be a pretty fantastic opening day kind of additional tribute. But we've got, you know, speaking of the giveaways and theme nights, and I mean, the season is stacked. We, you know, there's been all sorts of, you know, people talking about how many theme nights, how many giveaways, what are all the things we're doing? And we've got, let's see, 17 gate giveaways, I think. 9 theme nights, 3 community nights. It just, you know, we're putting it all out there for fans. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, Chewy, have you seen the cribbage board? Did you see the little cribbage board that they're giving out? Oh, so sweet. All right, go ahead, bud.
Marty, I've always wondered, where do the players stay when they're in spring training? Obviously, everyone knew that we stayed at St. Norberg back in the day. They don't do it anymore. I think they all stay at home, but we stay there. Are they at a college or are they at a hotel?
There are all sorts of different arrangements. Chew, by the way, I was at St. Norbert College while you guys were still staying there. So there you go. That'll throwback.
Yeah, thanks for making me feel old. That was wonderful.
Hey, ouch. Wait, who's making who feel old on that one, bud? I was getting on the plane last night. I played with this little girl on the flight, like, all the way home, and the mom stood up at the end, and she's like, do you have grandkids? I was like, are you kidding me? Anyway, I literally texted my husband. I'm like, it's over. Like, I'm done. Just giving up right now.
Out of all of the bad plane experiences that I've had, I've never had that happen.
You've never been asked if you're her grandmother?
Right?
And I played with this little sweet girl for, like, hours in any event. Some of them have their own places in Phoenix, you know, or that area, so they're actually staying at home. Others of them, you know, no, we're not putting them on college campuses. We've got all sorts of housing arrangements for them, but they're not on a college campus.
What is the best part of spring training? You said you've been back and forth. You just got back late last night. The best part for you of going down to Arizona?
I absolutely love the spring training atmosphere. It is, you know, kids rolling down the grass, you know, outfield. Some people sit in their seats, sure, but so much of it is just, you know, the chill atmosphere that comes with spring, the excitement, because, you know, so many Brewers fans come from Wisconsin and head out there. And so we haven't seen, like, the sun or warmth or any of those things, right? So the energy is really fantastic. And people are just excited. The players are excited. So I think the energy at Maryvale is unbelievable.
Marty Ronsky hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. When we talk about opening day, and you gave us a great list of all the things happening on opening day. You rattled off many of them. We've got the Alley Food Truck Park here as well. It looks like there'll be a bald eagle in the stadium that day for opening day for the national anthem as well. What is your favorite part of opening day? When you think about walking around, whenever we talk to Rick, he's always like, I don't know, I don't sleep a lot the night before, right? So he's sort of kind of zombieing his way through opening day. What is the best part of opening day for you and your experience?
I walk opening day from the tippy top of the ballpark, not literally the roof, but, you know, pretty much tippy top all the way down. And to what the point we were talking about earlier, everyone is having an amazing time in a different way. Yes, I've got my ops hat on, so I'm like, oh, look, we've got this little thing we need to tweak, and we've got this little thing we could be, you know, paying attention to better. But really, the reason we do what we do at the end of the day is for Wisconsin fans to have a really incredible experience. And when I walk the ballpark and I can see that happening, there's just nothing better for me. And to get that kicked off is awesome.
Do you have a favorite theme night this year that you guys are doing? Because you always have a bunch of different theme nights. They're always fun in their own different way. Do you have a favorite one, or do you try not to play favorites?
Well, no, I would say I Bark at the Park has just taken on a life of its own. I mean, it has just taken on a life of its own, and it really is fun. I think I probably hear about that theme night out in the real world more than any other. So we are expanding that again this season and sort of moving it around to let it get bigger and bigger. It's fantastic.
September 3rd, according to the schedule, Bark at the Park presented by Fleet Farm. And there is a portable pet water bowl being given out that night as well.
Yes. And we'll have our, you know, little potty pads everywhere too, for the for the dogs, but hey, if you know, whatever. So
it's a Wednesday. I don't know how many people are getting that rowdy on a Wednesday.
He said he's watching the players pee.
I got a serious question, Marty. Do you get pushback from cat people?
You know, Chew, let's not go there.
I'm just saying, like, the cat the people radio. Text and say, well, what about cats? I mean, yes. A lot of people have cats.
Yes.
Okay. Cats are inferior, Chew. They just have to live with that.
I'm not saying that. I'm not going to create enemies here. But I will say, Chew, they don't transport as readily as dogs do. And, you know, we had the Hank. You know, Hank was our guy, and so it kind of, you know, Hank the ballpark pup. And so, you know, it sort of stemmed from there. We're just going to pretend you didn't say anything about cats. We love cats at the Brewers. We love, love, love them. There's cat gear in the store. Please know that we love your cats.
All right, I'm going to pivot off of that for a second.
Thank you, because my phone's already ringing back
at
the office.
We got Cerveceros Night. That's August 8th. Hockey Night, April 3rd, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. And it sounds like there's going to be a hockey-style sweatshirt giveaway for that night. Peanuts Night, like Fred Scholl's Peanuts. Star Wars Night, presented by ESPN Milwaukee with a Jedi Jackson bobblehead.
That's a really cool bobblehead, Jen. It's really cool.
Tropical Day, presented by UW Credit Union. And it says Brewers branded straw hat. What is Pokemon Go Day?
So Pokemon Go is a new, I don't know that it's new. I feel like Pokemon's, but the Pokemon Go concept is something that is coming from the league to us. And it's, you know, there's a game that goes together with it. And so at the ballpark, we'll be set up so that people can come and have their day to play Pokemon Go at the ballpark.
So you're
as
like bopping around looking for the little Pokemon characters or whatever around the ballpark. I imagine that'll be popular for kids, as will Sesame Street Day on August 10th, where there will be a Big Bird bobblehead.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah. You know, our people are so creative when they're putting these concepts together and going month to month. You know, can't miss kids. We can't miss our Star Wars fans. And just really trying to make sure that we're touching all those different interests, as well as our community. Nice, Jen. You mentioned Cerveceros. We've got Pride Night. We've got the Negro League Tribute Game. So those are our really three theme nights that we are focusing on. Some years there's more, some years there's less. But those three are really our core right now, and we're going to make those pretty fantastic.
When do you start working on all these different things? Because, again, if you go out to the ballpark, it's like there's something going on almost every day. When do you actually start sitting down and trying to figure out what the schedule is going to look like and how you're going to have all these different events and themes and throughout the course of the season?
Yeah, now you're talking, Gabe. So this is the ops piece of it, right? The little magic. So, you know, it's interesting. There's sort of an overlap. So we're already starting to talk about 26. What we're going to, you know, where, how things are going to fit and where they're going to go. We don't have the schedule yet, but we start to think about that because there's always good ideas that are kind of extra that we don't have time to develop or get the rights to or whatever else. So those work on 26 while we're still figuring out pieces of how we're going to execute on 25. So it just rolls in that way. And, you know, our analytics team is measuring what worked in 25, what the fans like, what should we not do and do in 26. So there's always sort of that 2-year roll to everything we're organizing and figuring out. And again, hats off between marketing and analytics and ticket sales and all those groups at the office. They're jamming all the time.
All right. So let's just say, before we let you go, as the season goes on, somebody pops as a superstar. Like somebody is either it's a pitcher or a position player, and all of a sudden there is a huge fan following for them. They are performing well, and they're also charismatic. Can you guys roll in a thing for somebody like that? Like I think about like when Tony Plush was on the team, and I know it's back.
Oh, we remember.
But you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
All of a sudden, we were like, whoa, everybody loves this dude. The way he plays, his mannerisms, his characteristics. And then they rolled out a Tony Plush bobblehead. Can you guys do that? Do you have the flexibility if all of a sudden it's like, wow, there's a demand for this guy. We can make it happen.
Yeah, we absolutely can. And it is something that we watch for a ton. What we can do, bobbleheads can get tricky. Those can be tricky, but at least the t-shirt designs, which our fans just absolutely love. You know, we're doing that Wisconsin Artist Series this year because our fans love tees so much. But yeah, Jen, we absolutely can roll into that. The awesome thing about this team is that so many of them are so exciting to watch. You know, I came off of those first couple of days of spring training that I was out there, you know, Murph had me ready to run through a wall and, you know, Sal's actually running through walls out there. And, you know, the energy is so awesome anyway, but we do have some incredible, you know, new talent that's going to be moved around a little bit. It's going to be fun to watch, but yeah, you better believe we're going to be on top of that.
Marty Ronsky from the Milwaukee Brewers COO going over some of the in-game giveaways that they have out at AmFam Field this year. Single tickets are still available. There are several, I don't know, I'd say limited tickets available for opening day. They are selling fast, but there are still seats available. And we just ran through a bunch of the things that you can do and get out at the ballpark this year. Marty, we cannot thank you enough for coming in studio, hanging out with us to talk about the Brewers and all of the excitement surrounding this baseball club. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Thanks for having us, guys. We appreciate it more than you can know. I absolutely, you know, I'm the Jen Gavin Chewy Geek, so here we are.
She keeps saying that.
I do.
And
I love
gotta
it
be careful.
So
every time it gets better and better.
Yeah,
I'm
here for you.
I knew she was a real nerd when I got introduced as Josh, and she said, wait, Joshy? And I said, yeah, that's the one. Yeah, that's the right way.
I'm also the person that got out of her car with her lint roller stuck to her backpack this morning and had to have some lady tell me it was on there.
Girl,
so.
I had a Celsius explode in my bag this morning. I was like, what is going on?
It's Monday.
Case of the Mondays. Smarty, thank you so much. We roll on right after this.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I just figured if I got the yellow ones from Mexico, I could slip those in without her. Did you know the Viagra in Mexico is yellow?
Had no idea.
Yeah.
Wait, can you just paint it? You just drop it in a little food coloring?
You probably
color
could, like
egg?
An egg. I'm going to try
that. Easter has a new meaning in the Chamorro household.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Remember me talking about being at the state fair and seeing a sauna, and it was one of those moments from a movie, right, where everything sort of slows down, slow motion, a ballad started playing, well, maybe not exactly, but similarly, because I actually did go home with a sauna from Good Health Saunas, and guys, I can't tell you enough about how it has changed my life. I have extra energy. My flexibility is greater than it's been since college. My skin looks better. I am sleeping better. The detoxification benefits of having a sauna in your home cannot be measured. So if you think you're in the market for a sauna, a Good Health sauna, go to their website, goodhealthsaunas.com/Jen. There you will see a discount. So if you go ahead and make the purchase, you will get a discount for being a friend of Jen. goodhealthsaunas.com/Jen, goodhealthsaunas.com/Jen. It disappeared with time. All right, guys, I got a little trivia here for you. Chew, I pitched this to Gabe during the break, so he's had a little head start. But, you know, you got that big brain of yours. You're a deep thinker. I think you can figure this out.
Okay. Not on a Monday, though.
I saw this on social media this weekend, and I said, ooh, my guys would love a shot at this. So some people put together a list of the, hear me out, active players across all leagues, NBA, NHL, NFL and MLB, who currently have a 100% chance to make the Hall of Fame. So there are four NBA players. There are four NHL players. There are five NFL players. And there are 7 MLB players. Do you think you could name the players in each league who have a 100% chance of making the Hall of Fame in their respective league? You want to start with the NFL? It feels like that might be a space chew where you would have a puncher's chance.
Okay. Lamar?
See, I don't know if Lamar's going to be there, chew, because he's still pretty young.
Two MVPs.
Yeah, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're going in.
All right, Mahomes.
If we...
Mahomes.
Mahomes is on the list, yes.
So Mahomes, Rodgers.
All right, let's alternate it, Gabe. You go next.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers is on the list, yes.
Myles Garrett.
So Did Miles someone Garrett. Make a guess?
Chewy just said Myles Garrett.
Oh,
Myles
I didn't hear Garrett. It. Sorry, Josh was in my ear. I didn't hear him say Myles Garrett. No, not on the list.
I will say Matthew Stafford. Just missed.
I don't think he's on the list. He could be on the list. I don't think he's on the list. And I'll explain that as we go on. Yes. Josh and I are trying to figure out what the last... There's one spot left that they didn't answer.
They do
the
this classical thing on social media, basically, where they leave the last options open.
So that people can debate them.
So you respond.
Engagement.
Engagement. Pop the old thing up so it shows up on Jen's feed. But...
So we'll hold Matthew Stafford as a possibility for the NFL player.
Stafford seems like the favorite from what I was reading.
Okay.
Mike Evans?
Mike Evans was the other one that people were guessing to, which
you guys are missing a glaring
is
one.
Hilarious to me because earlier this morning you said Mike Evans disappears. Yeah. Okay, just put that out there. Just want to make sure. Okay, but you just guessed him as a player who has a 100% chance to make the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
I feel like we're probably missing like an offensive lineman somewhere.
No.
No?
I got a defensive player, and I got one tight end.
Oh, Travis Kelce.
There it is. Travis Kelce is on
Kelce,
the list.
I had Kelce on the list. Yeah, okay. And a defensive player?
Correct.
Active, though, right? They got to
be active.
These
are all active, yes.
Once great, not so great anymore.
Oh, the Mac. Khalil Mac.
The right position.
Yeah, Mac didn't. Mac hasn't had the production you thought that
AFC East
had.
AFC East.
Oh, Von Miller.
Von Miller is on the list. Yes. So again, we're putting Mike Evans and Matthew Stafford as the placeholder for that fifth spot. Do you want to go NBA guys? There are four active players who have a 100% chance to make the Basketball Hall of Fame.
LeBron.
Yes.
Steph.
Yes.
Jokic.
No.
Durant.
Yes.
Okay, so the last one here.
Who does Giannis hate the most?
Is that
James
true?
Harden?
The other guy.
Think point guard.
Once teammates.
Oh, Kyrie?
No.
No.
Who does Giannis hate the most? Once teammates with Harden?
Like a good neighbor.
Oh, Chris Paul.
There it is. Yeah.
He does hate Chris Paul.
He
hates Chris Paul, Kevin Durant, and for whatever reason, Ben Simmons. Like, he goes after Ben Simmons like I've never seen.
Chris Paul should not be a lock. He shouldn't. How can't you have Jokic? Two MVPs, won a title. I mean, what are we doing
still
here?
Still a lot of runway left,
yeah,
I think.
Same thing with Giannis. I mean, Giannis has basically the same resume, but Chris Paul is old and he's the point god.
Where are we going now?
NHL.
Yeah, I've got two names and then I'm out.
Kachuk? No.
Crosby.
Thank
Crosby.
You. Good lord.
there's Crosby. Another player who's rivaling.
Alex Ovechkin.
Yes. On rivaling Wayne Gretzky for the most goals ever.
Yeah, so after Crosby and Ovechkin, I'm out.
Former Blackhawk?
Yeah.
Patrick Kane?
Yes, correct. Patrick Kane, 100%.
Really? A lot of
the
titles.
Hall of Fame.
The other guy is Sidney Crosby's teammate, Evgeny Malkin, who also has a lot of titles and other awards and accolades to go with.
All right, so fun times here. We probably should have asked Marty this. She probably could have run the table on this. Major League Baseball players with a 100% chance currently to make the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Shohei?
Shohei is on the list.
Okay. Clayton Kershaw.
On the list.
Mookie?
Mookie, on the list.
Justin Verlander.
You're noticing a distinctive Dodgers pattern here.
I don't
see Verlander on this
guy
list.
Ever. Mike Trout.
On the list.
Yeah, Trout's on the list. Scherzer.
Terrible.
Scherzer on the list.
How is Scherzer on the list and Verlander isn't?
I don't know.
I think he might be the one that's supposed to be in that last
The blank
spot.
One?
Yeah. Yeah.
We got a blank spot for Major League Baseball and for the NFL, which, again, to Josh's point, is supposed to encourage engagement.
Right? Embrace debate.
You're weighing in saying who deserves those last two spots. There is another L.A. Dodger here who they say is a 100% lock to make the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Is Bellinger still there?
No. He's
Cody Bellinger!
He's nowhere near the Hall of Fame. I think he's a Yankee now.
I believe you're correct.
So another Dodger that's 100%?
Yeah, you know this guy.
Infield.
First baseman? Oh, what's his name? The guy from Atlanta.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, Freddie Freeman.
And one more.
I thought we had seven.
Did someone say the last one on the list, Joshy?
We had Kershaw, Ohtani, Mookie, Trout, Scherzer, Freeman.
Oh, we did
Freeman.
Say Mookie. I didn't realize that somebody said Mookie. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Mookie was the last one on the list. Do you like that? Any glaring omissions? Anybody that should be on the list that was left out? Maybe NFL, Chew? Anybody in the NFL that you think? Like, is TJ Watt a surefire 100% Hall of Famer?
Has more work to do.
No Super Bowl, which always helps.
But, I mean, he's there are a number of guys. Like, he's one of the fastest to get to 100 sacks.
I mean,
my guess is ultimately that gets him in if he got in a, you know, had a really bad injury because they've shown that they're willing to put guys in. But in order to become 100%, you've got to move your way up that historic list. Like, he's still too early in his career. Same thing with Myles Garrett. Too early in their career to
Same
be 100%.
Same thing with Lamar, because that was the first guess that Chewy threw out there, and I thought it was a good one.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if Lamar would have won the MVP again this year and given him three, I don't think they've kept out any three-time
he needs
MVPs.
A Super
I don't know. I mean, he doesn't need one. If he gets a, if he gets another MVP, he's in.
Are you surprised that Giannis was not on this list?
No, because he's still pretty young.
Well, especially relatively compared to the four that they have.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, the four that they have. So, like, Harden, the fact that James Harden has won an MVP, like, Russell Westbrook has won MVPs, those guys are probably getting in, but if they're not 100%, like, you need probably an MVP or two more or another championship.
Do you like that list, Gabe? Guessing who would make the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, the 100% guys? Yeah, that was fun.
I mean, you could have some old linemen in there, right? The guy from Indianapolis.
Yeah,
right?
I feel like there's got to be an O-line or two missing.
I don't know, though, because...
You're saying the guard?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe the Eagles guys? I mean
Trent Richardson would be...
No. I'm saying, is his name Martin from Notre Dame? That guy's a road grader.
You're talking about... I know who you're talking about, but he's, like, not close.
Why?
Because there's guys that are...
I mean, does Jason Kelsey have a chance at the Hall of Fame?
But he's not active.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. This is the seat. Yeah.
But I think he's got a really good chance. Like, Trent Williams would be the first one that comes
to
mind.
That's what I meant. I said Richardson.
Yeah.
Trent Richardson ain't anywhere near the Hall of Fame.
Aaron and Fredonia weighing in. What about Derrick Henry? Bryce Harper borderline for Major League Baseball?
Harper should be. My guess is Harper's in the 90s.
Yeah.
98.
Is Aaron Judge on this list from Cody in the 708?
The problem with Aaron Judge is he's had two monster years.
Last year.
Yeah, last year, and then not the year before, but the year before that. And he's had a lot of injuries that have kind of slowed him down as well. So he's got more work to do to be 100%.
Let us know who you think should have been on the list that is not on the list. Active players with a 100% chance to make their respective Hall of Fames. We'll go ahead and post the list somewhere so you can see who is on this TikTok list. I know New Year is the time where a lot of people want to hit the reset button, whether it's fitness, wellness, or taking better care of yourself. Let's be honest, fellas. Feeling confident in how you look is not just for the ladies. That's where Quintessa Aesthetic Center comes in. Now through March 31st, so you are running out of time, Quintessa is offering special packages to help you start 2025 as a more confident you. Guys, if you're looking in the mirror going, man, I certainly have looked better and I know I have felt better, give Quintessa a shot. They've got wellness and weight loss plans, Botox, skincare, even IV therapy, personalized options backed by medical expertise to help you look and feel your best. What have you got to lose? Check it all out at myquintessa.com and make this the year that you feel the most confident inside and out.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Thesaurus.
What's a click below dumb?
You. No.
Above. That's fine. Whoa. No, that's what I'm
good
getting
good pop. Good pop.
That, whoa. I know.
Unnecessary.
I'm not dumb. I'm one click below dumb. We need to find out what that word is.
Don't you want to be one click above dumb?
Oh, that's right. I'm one click above.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Conversation during the break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Do you know where the NHL Hall of Fame is?
My guess is in Canada somewhere.
So that's literally what we said. We were like, 50-50 shot. It's either in the U.S. or Canada. Gabe was like, actually, I think it's more 70-30. You know, if
probably
you were
Montreal?
Guessing.
Montreal? No?
No, other big city.
Toronto?
Yep, Toronto. Huh. Just, you know. Okay. Passing on information here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. The NHL Hall of Fame is in Toronto. Big news in the NFL last week, guys, when they announced that they are benching the chain gang for electronic first downs. The NFL will now use an electronic measuring system to spot first downs, to spot the ball in all games in 2025. Chew, your reaction when you heard this news that they were getting, now they're not getting rid of the chain gang. The chain gang will still be there as a backup system in case, okay, you know, technology fails us. But do you like that now they are going to be using more of the technology that you see in some of these other sports to spot the ball?
Yeah, if you got it, why not use it? And if it speeds everything up, where I would assume that they don't have to bring the chains out now to measure for a first down.
Yeah, this is, I mean, it's pretty.
That makes sense?
Yeah, it's pretty insignificant. I mean, because how many times are they bringing the chains out anyway?
But you do need them there because it is helpful.
Yes,
from a
for
player
you.
Standpoint. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like third and six, I want to know where the six is, you know? And I still think somehow they should put a laser across the field where you could see it.
You and Dr. Evil with your bleeping lasers.
That'd be nice, because you can't look to the sidelines when it's 3rd and 6 and you catch the ball in the middle of the field.
Can they at least be ill-tempered?
Sure. But like I said, they have the technology used.
Okay, so to your point, there is some value in having the chain gang on the sideline, because as a player, you still are looking over to see where the first down is.
Yes.
I wonder if they think about that. I'm assuming that when they have these conversations, they poll the players, they ask the players. Gabe's like,
the NFL, you never know.
They might not. They might. Why didn't they do it sooner? You know, I've been watching tennis, not a lot, but some. And they can always tell you if a ball is in or out within seconds of it hitting the ground. Obviously, in soccer, they're able to tell you when a ball.
Well, they first started doing this last year during preseason. And my guess is they would have implemented it last year had they been able to get it in every stadium right away. But they weren't able. There were probably some delays with every stadium. And if you can't have it uniform across your 32 stadiums, then you can't implement it. So during the course of the season, during the course of the offseason, now it's all in there after they tried it out last year during the preseason. So this was not that shocking to me that they decided to fully implement this. Because again, it's just telling you whether or not a ball that you've already marked is a first down or not.
Do you think it helps guys with the gambling aspect? I always wonder, whenever you have somebody spotting a ball, and my brain is immediately going back to the Aaron Jones situation, not this past season, but the previous one, where we all watched it in the middle of the field and thought, I don't love the spot that they
gave.
But
this has nothing to do with the spots.
Okay, so just hear me out for a second. So then Aaron Jones says he's not getting off the ball because he's going to wait until the official is right on top of him so that they cannot manipulate the spot of that ball, which then people who are financially invested in games start to get squirrely about. Is there any part of this that helps from a first down standpoint with that? Are we getting screwed by the referees? Is there some human influence on what we're seeing?
I don't think so. Again, like the chains, they've worked for, you know, again, how many times you're bringing out the chains to measure a first down? Maybe once a game. It's probably more like once every other game. So it's not really, to me, saving that much time. Yeah, it's great that you can put this in the stadiums and, you know, instead of the official just trying to eyeball it and think you have the first down or not, now you know for sure. But I don't think that this is that big of a deal.
Well, remember the Josh Allen thing, Chew, last year or this past playoffs?
Yeah, but I mean, all it's doing is just showing you where the line is. There's no assistance as to where the player's knee was down.
Correct.
Which is the big thing. This is just the official line.
Yeah, it's just, is it a first down? Is it not a first down? It doesn't have anything to do. The officials are still spotting the football with their eyes.
Is it the first step in what we think will be automated?
No.
So you're of the belief that they will never be able to, because of the elbow, knee, body part on the turf, they will never be able to go full technology on that.
I don't know what they're going
to
be able to do
chip
with that.
In everywhere,
But yeah, they would have to have a chip everywhere. Like, so what, you have to wear an elbow pad now, but how do you differentiate that guy's shoulder pad hitting my elbow as he's trying to tackle me versus my elbow hitting the ground? I think there's a lot of elements in terms of being able to use the technology available to spot the football, because it's not just one. There's multiple factors that go into where is that football.
Chew, even though you were saying that players like having the chain gang there so that they know where the first down is, this is supposed to be more efficient. And if a team is, you know, doing a hurry up, if they are trying to move the ball quickly, that to me feels like another benefit from a player standpoint, from a team standpoint, that you're not waiting for them to trot out there and then potentially eliminate the momentum that you're trying to build with that type of play calling.
I think it's already more efficient, because how many times where it's, you know, it doesn't really matter, it's 2nd down and 4, but you see the official sometimes mark the ball and he must hear something from up top say, hey, move it back another 8 inches or so. Because they're looking at, I think they're looking at the video, just making sure everything is as correct as they can get it, because you see that all the time. They move it back a yard here, they move it here. I like that. They're proactive. They're already on top of it to keep the game flowing.
So that, Chew, the use of the sky judge is going to be a bigger, whenever they finally get around to that, and let's just get rid of challenges. Like, you're using the Sky Judge. How many times have you watched a game where the Sky Judge comes in? You know it's the Sky Judge because the official opens up a microphone and says, after further discussion, when he wasn't standing around anyone discussing anything, so you know it's somebody in his ear going, hey, this is what this should have been. Hey, this is what this is. Like, let's just get rid of challenges. Let's have the Sky Judge come in. You can make that thing, to me, just be able to flow a lot better. And it's more transparent because sometimes the Sky Judge saves the coach from having to use one of his challenges, and other times, like, well, why don't they just fix this? Okay, well, now LaFleur's got to throw the challenge flag. I just want that. That's what I want. I want them to be more open and honest and transparent about the Sky Judge and that whole thing.
But I would like them to explain some of the things that aren't challengeable that seem to be so easy to be challengeable, right?
I mean, like what?
Situation. Oh, well, I don't know what comes to mind, but how many, oh, you can't challenge that. No, you can't do that. Well, why? It makes so much sense to challenge it. And I can't think of anything specifically, but that happens throughout the course of a game. Maybe not every game, but it certainly does happen.
Chris is asking us, if the automated first down wasn't implemented in 24 because all the stadiums couldn't get it in place, did the stadiums that could get it in test it last year, and what was the accuracy? Good questions, really good questions. Do not have the answer to that. Here's another next layer question. Will the overseas games use this technology? That from John in the 414. As we have seen, I believe it was Mark Murphy who said in his Murphy Takes 5 that there are going to be more international games, that the team should be prepared to play international games pretty regularly now. Will they be able to implement this technology in these international stadiums?
I have no idea. My guess is yes. I don't know how much it costs to put in, but if the NFL is making all this money by playing these international games, I'm guessing they'll invest in those stadiums that they play in and be able to use that technology. Because I'm guessing they're not just going to have one-offs, right? Like, the Packers played in Sao Paulo last year. My guess is at some point they're going to go back. Not the Packers specifically, the NFL.
So between the automated strike zone and the robot umps and the now, you know, the chain gain is basically just a backup system, technology is absolutely finding its way more and more season by season into these games. And technology advances very quickly. Like, I mean, I always think about, like, all of the things that my parents have lived through from a technology standpoint, right? Like, the televisions, the microwaves, the automobiles, like everything that they have seen in their lifetime. It feels to me, guys, like there are things out there that they're going to implement in our lifetime in these games that we can't even comprehend. And like, I don't know, again, to your point about the elbow pad and on the ground versus hitting a guy versus this and this, but it would not shock me if in my lifetime there is some sort of no more human influence on the field, on the games.
I wonder if we'll ever get to the point where every player on the field has a speaker in their helmet to be able to listen to individual coaches. Because that would be, I mean, if everyone had it, it'd be fair. But, I mean, I used to listen because it was, Brett had it so loud at opposing stadiums. And I could hear it because I wasn't far from them. And they'd say, you know, hey, make sure Chu looks for cover two there, you know, to convert this, you know, and it's very helpful. So,
well, yeah, it's a cheat code. Isn't that what you're supposed to be doing out there? Aren't you supposed to be reading the defense and knowing that you should be looking for cover two?
I'd go back the other way.
But if everyone cheats, then it's not really cheating.
I want to take the speaker out. I want to go back to the days of Bart Starr. Call your own damn plays in the line.
And when everyone's super, no one is. No, Chu, you can't have like that's one of the biggest criticisms of college football is that these quarterbacks are looking over to the side. They're getting all of their instruction, being told what to do, instead of being able to read a defense and see the soft spots. Like,
yeah,
right?
Everyone,
and then they get to the league and it's like, what do you mean you can't? What do you mean you don't know what you're looking at?
But if Brett Favre cheats, if everyone cheats, it's not really cheating then. That's all I'm saying.
What is this, the 90s baseball? Well, if everybody's on roids, it's like nobody's on roids.
Well, it's the Lance Armstrong excuse. Well, he was doing it, so why can't I do it?
It is the Lance Armstrong excuse. That's a very fair point. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Roll On right after this.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Josh said it's garbage.
I'm so glad that Josh is getting a front row seat.
He said it doesn't work.
Chewy,
am I right or wrong?
We call that a setup in the biz.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
Your best face on. Everybody pretend you love this song.
We have enjoyed having Professional Construction Inc. help with our home projects, and as you might know, my husband and I, we're not the most handy. There are certainly things around our house that we can't handle. So we call our friends over at PCI, and you should too for your next remodeling project, home addition, or maybe you're thinking about building a new home. Either way, the PCI team is here for you. Guys, they did such exceptional work on our basement. It is one of my favorite places in our house. The kids love it. They've got an arts and craft area. We've got our workout area. We've got the big TV, the big couch, and still plenty of space for the kids to do whatever it is they want to do. PCI has been in the business for more than 20 years, so you know they know what they are doing. Go to their website, professionalconstructioninc.com, to see some of the jobs they've done and see if they are the team for you. Jude, did you see this story about how the number one seed in the SEC women's basketball tournament was decided by a coin flip?
I did not.
Yeah, so unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, the two teams, South Carolina and Texas, finished with the same conference record and came down to who is going to be the number one seed for the tournament. And Greg Sankey came on the television, good old Greg, flipped a custom coin, had each of the team's logos on either side, flipped it, and I believe it was South Carolina. It wasn't the best angle, honestly. The video was not the best angle. It was like, South Carolina did get the number one seed. You okay with that? Now, again, Gabe, you make a really good point about the relative importance of this.
Yeah, I mean, both these teams are going to make the NCAA tournament. Both these teams are going to be ranked very high in the NCAA tournament. It's not like you get home court advantage with the number one seed. These are neutral site games. So, in terms of a conference tournament, yeah, I'm cool with coin flip decides the number one seed.
There's no way to peel it back, though.
That's what I was thinking.
Points that, you know, how it works in a playoff.
Point differential.
Yeah, but then you don't have your commissioner that gets to come on television with a custom coin.
Thank you.
How long?
Thank you.
I mean, it's an entertainment product. You can't tell me that that wasn't entertaining. How long did it take him to go, like, did they know that this was a possibility and then they created the custom?
Yes.
Like, how long ago did they create this custom coin is what I want to know. Because I want to know how long it takes to make that custom coin.
Don't we need to evolve from the coin flip?
Absolutely not.
We're just talking about technology in the yard markers in football. Can't we flip like a boat or something like that?
A boat?
I don't know, but I mean, isn't it time for the coin flip
thing
to evolve?
You look out the window? Yeah,
well, because he's a big man. He's the only one of us who can actually flip a boat. So.
Yeah.
I think it should have come down to rock, paper, scissors, best out of three between the head coaches.
Also, tug of war. Tug of war is a great way to settle something like that.
That's injury
right?
risk, though.
I kind of like the idea of both teams on either side of the rope trying to pull it across.
But then
the
Texas kind of lets go, hoping that they can injure somebody from South Carolina because they all just tumble back.
You can't have your starting point guard missing time to rope burn on their
automatic
hands.
Automatic disqualification. Maybe you play flip cup. Okay, you line up the starting fives on either side of a table, and you flip cup your way through, and whoever wins flip cup gets the number one seed. There's a lot of other ways you could do this. I agree that we need to evolve past the coin flip. Googling how long does it take to create a personal coin.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the shipping costs, like, it's going to take you three days to get there.
He's got
a coin machine in the back.
Uh-huh.
2 to 5 weeks to design a challenge coin. I guess it's something that has two logos on either side.
I mean, so what? With the SEC and the money they have, what? We can cut that down to a week?
7 to 10 day turnaround if you go on a different website. So I guess we're talking about a week.
3 to 4 days, yeah. Okay.
Greg Sankey.
Working around the clock. Exactly. Somebody's working around the clock to create the coin. I agree. It felt very arbitrary. I know in the grand scheme of things it doesn't matter, but maybe for those young ladies it does. Maybe they wanted the number one seed, certainly had earned it from a performance standpoint. And I can't help but wonder if you could have come up with some other way of distinguishing who had a better season.
No, this is objectively sick. So cool. This is awesome.
What is sick about it?
Just had the commissioner go, hey, this is how we determine. I mean, did you watch Friday Night Lights? That's how they determine playoff spots. That was a lot more important.
I did not. Maybe I need to. I was unaware
that
the coin had
the movie
impact.
They do
like
that like coin flip.
I was shocked
like
she hadn't seen it.
Yeah, because there's like the three-way tie, and it's only for two spots.
I remember it.
Jared in Canton says, call it in the air, stern or bow.
Yeah.
And again, only Chewie's
port side.
The only one who can get a boat up in the air. Maybe it's a dinghy. Maybe he can flip a dinghy. Thanks for hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewie. Wildy and Tausch is next on ESPN Milwaukee.